of Women is departing from our usual interview format. Instead, we decided to present a very special show about our show. Ina Harris, Ruth Mountaingrove, and Belle Shalom are all credited with being the original founders of Through the Eyes of Women. I sat down with all three to pick and peek their memories. Ina and Ruth, both 92 years old, requested that I come to their homes for the interviews. Through the Eyes of Women host Corinne Fragoni accompanied me to the home Ina shares with her third husband, 96-year-old Noel Harris, in Eureka, California. Throughout the interview, Noel listened attentively to his wife, her words occasionally punctuated by Noel's deep and steady breathing. KHSU's Jesse Eden met me in front of Ruth's roadside apartment in Arcata, California, where inside we talked to a background of car and bus noise from the busy thruway. Ruth loves that her apartment is just a few steps away from the bus stop because at 92, she no longer drives. I spoke with Belle Shalom, now 86, by phone from her quiet home in Bellingham, Washington. I asked each one of them, who got Through the Eyes of Women started, which, it turned out, was a little bit like asking which came first, the chicken or the egg.
I really think that I was not one of the founders of Through the Eyes of Women. I think maybe I was recruited by either Belle or Ruth, and I think they had already started it.
Ruth tells me things that I don't remember. They must have been on the collective at the beginning. I was not.
Well, as I remember it, Belle does not. She said, I don't remember any of that, she said. It's so typical of Belle. According to me, Belle invited me in to a group of people, one of whom was Ina, and one was Belle and myself, and there were two or three other people, and I wish I could remember their names now.
Well, I should have known that they'd give each other the credit. When I first started asking around about how the show got its start and who started it, everyone I spoke with said Ruth Mountaingrove, Ina Harris, and Belle Shalom. They were spoken of as a team. And they did work as a team, as a feminist collective in which the individual I was subservient to the collective we. But one thing became very clear in their giving credit to the others. Ruth Mountaingrove's biggest fans just might be Belle Shalom and Ina Harris.
I met Ina when we moved to Arcata. She and I had been involved in a couple of other social justice issues and workers' rights. We met along those lines. She's a supreme advocate and always has been for workers' rights specifically and social justice generally. So we kind of clicked, and I was very happy to have her and Ruth in my life as wonderful women to know. Ruth is an extremely creative person who has, written songs, written stories, taken photographs. She is a font of creativity and has been. And Ina has been a font of hard work and labor and wisdom. I admire them both very much.
It all started with Ruth. She's quite a gal, I'll tell you that. I call her my Renaissance woman. She's an artist. She's a photographer. She's a poet. She's a composer. She's a musician. She's a journalist. She's all of those things.
So how did these three women end up in Humboldt County and find each other? In talking with them, I found some remarkable similarities. They were all born in pre-feminist America, Ina and Ruth in 1923 and Belle in 1929. They had all married, had children, and divorced, and they all became activists and feminists in and of their own rights. All three, Ina, Belle, and Ruth, pepper their recollections with asides that reflect that feminism. They tell their stories in their own unique and modest ways. Ina with wry enthusiasm, Belle with a gentle and straightforward manner, and Ruth with a meandering backwards timeline that begins with her influential lesbian partner, Jean Mountain Grove.
Well, I always like to say, I was born in New York City and I grew up on a farm in New Jersey. First an apple farm, and my dad had about 360 acres of farm. And then he went into chickens. And so there were only three girls and one boy. So we'd go in the house and fix the meals, and the men would lie down and take a nap or something. Wouldn't happen today, I'll tell you that. But we worked real hard from sun up to sundown. And so I always said after that, everything work was a piece of cake. I was divorced from my first husband, and I had two children. And I took the kids and moved to Spokane, Washington. I met my second husband, married him, and then we came down to Eureka, and that's where I met my third husband, Noel. After he retired, we decided we'd go back to Humboldt State for the Over 60s program. And I took journalism. And if I had taken or knew about journalism, I definitely would have been a journalist instead of a PE teacher. I loved it. A class on radio technique, and how the most exciting thing we learned was as you read the script, you drop it to the floor. Huh? You drop it to the floor? Yeah. You're through with it and you're not rustling papers. And I thoroughly enjoyed the radio experience. So then that led to meeting Ruth Mountain Grove and being a volunteer on Through the Eyes of Women.
I began life in Louisiana. I moved to California. I moved to Arizona after getting married, and left the marriage after quite a long time and four children, and came out as a lesbian. And my partner and I moved. We actually went to Root Works to work on Ruth Mountain Grove and Jean Mountain Grove, The Blatant Image, which was a photography magazine for women. And then I began to get more involved in women's issues. We moved from Oregon to Arcata, and Ruth came shortly after that, and we ended up on Through the Eyes of Women. Through, I think, a great deal of encouragement from a woman who may have been program director at KHSU, I'm not sure, Sharon. And for the life of me, I cannot remember her last name, but she was extremely supportive. And it was a phenomenal, fantastic learning experience for me, and certainly set me off into activism. Ruth and Ina have been in activism most of their lives in some form or another, and I was not. That started my interest and education in women's issues and hearing women's voices, which to this day are still not heard enough, I might say. So that struggle and that challenge to get women's voices heard still is a big part of my life today. That's how I got there.
I met Jean in Philadelphia, and I sort of followed her out here. And before I met her, before I moved to Oregon, I worked as a chemical research person. Wasn't as fancy as it sounds, at a place called Roman Haas for 5 or 6 years, raising four children, because I was divorced by that time. And before that, I was a housewife for 20 years, raising those kids. And before that, I taught school for 2 years in New Hope, Pennsylvania. And before that, I graduated from Kutztown State College and got married. The 50s were a pretty bad time. It was the time of the Un-American Committee, and they demanded that the teachers sign a loyalty oath. He had three children at that point. I told my ex that he shouldn't sign it, but he didn't follow my instructions. He was also a teacher. And you know, it wasn't my politics. I thought it was a terrible thing to do to people.
And what are some of the things you don't hear them speak about? Well, Ina had a twin sister, and they both attended Trenton Normal School of New Jersey, a state school equivalent to Humboldt State University. After graduation, they both got teaching jobs at the Trenton State Institution for Wayward Girls, Ina teaching PE, which began her career as a PE teacher. She taught basketball to girls in a former church hall where the ceilings were so low that the only way to make a basket without hitting the ceiling was to stand directly under it. Belle overstayed her marriage, losing herself to it, probably for the financial security. Ruth told her college English teacher that she really had no need of writing because she was majoring in chemistry and chemists had no need of poetry. Turns out Ruth started writing poetry when she was 18 and has never stopped. She also found her voice as a feminist, essayist, and photographer, co-publishing Woman Spirit and The Blatant Image with her partner, Jean Mountain Grove. Together, they established the Oregon lesbian community called Rootworks. And of course, you know the three came together as the founders of Through the Eyes of Women, easily agreeing on the purpose of the show.
We would have regular meetings and say, well, what topic do you think we should discuss? So it was a wide range, and it was a wide span, and only women. It was unanimous. Anyone who was in that small group, we decided this is going to be it. So that's why we came up with a title, which is great, Through the Eyes of Women, so that we could get a woman's viewpoint on a myriad of things, you know. So
I think that was our moniker and our desire and mission for that show. And everything was women, from the music to the interviews, everything that we did was women-oriented.
The idea was that it would be for local women, all the things they were doing. It started out as a news. We cut out things that are related to women from newspapers. You know, we had the New York Times, the whole thing there. And then we read these snippets on Through the Eyes of Women. But that didn't last because we also had another program, I think called the Women's Hour, on Sunday. After a while, the station manager got tired of them, and so it was 2 hours on Sunday. Imagine women having 2 hours. And we still had the Eyes of Women that running at the same time. They got, what could you say, pushed out, and so that left us with Through the Eyes of Women, and from that we went into interviews mostly.
You are listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I'm your host, executive producer Kathleen Marshall. Today we have departed from our usual interview format to bring you a special documentary-style show about the show in honor of celebrating our 30th year on the KHSU airwaves. As you just heard, the early format for the show involved clipping articles relevant to women's issues from major papers and recording a women's news show. It aired twice a week. However, it quickly evolved into a once-weekly half-hour women's interview and entertainment show. But Ina, Bell, and Ruth weren't the only ones to make it so. Engineers and editors working behind the scenes made everyone sound great. And there was one very special woman that Ruth and Bell particularly remember. Her name was Stacy Aspey.
Have you heard of Stacy, an engineer? She had MS. All her life, practically. Well, no, that's not true. I think it hit her in high school. But she went to college here, 4 years, and graduated and got a job up in Washington State somewhere, and she taught math for a number of years before she died. But she was always in a wheelchair.
We had an engineer called Stacy Aspey, who was utterly a magnificent technician, between being a magnificent person. She was a very fine editor and a very fine technician, and whatever we did, she made better just from her skill as our engineer. So she was much loved. And I was very sorry to hear that she's no longer with us, who was a student engineer and came to us in a wheelchair because of her MS, and was just as strong and gutsy and wonderful, and didn't talk a lot about herself. She was stupendous.
Many, many volunteers have worked with Through the Eyes of Women over the years. In addition to Ina, Bell, and Ruth, I was able to contact Bonnie McGregor and Cynthia Chasen, who hosted for a couple of years around 1989 and 1990, and Geraldine Goldberg, who hosted for a few years around 1993 to 1995. They had stories to tell as well.
Well, I was looking for a way to get out of the Bay Area, and I was in food banking. We developed a statewide food bank network, and I met Cynthia, who was the executive director of the food bank up here. I was the director of the San Francisco Food Bank. And then as we started to get to know each other, I decided that I would move up here if I could find a job. And so Cynthia sent me clippings of possible jobs, and I found one, and they hired me, and I moved. In the fall of 1988...
I moved here in 1978 from San Francisco. We met at work conferences and had a lot in common with our work and our desire for social justice and interest in women's issues. So we just developed a friendship, and it led to a closer and closer relationship. 2008, when it became legal in California to marry, we got married in that window.
I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee. Lived a long time on the East Coast, fell in love, moved to Oregon, fell in love again, and moved to Humboldt County. I worked here at KHSU for about 10 to 12 years as the volunteer coordinator. Then we had a monthly program guide that was actually a paper magazine that you could hold, and I edited that and published it once a month.
And, not surprisingly, they all attributed their involvement with Through the Eyes of Women to at least one of the original three.
We knew Ruth Mountain Grove, Ina Harris, and Belle Shalom were friends of ours. And I don't remember which one, but some of them were involved in what we called a collective at that point on the radio show, and invited us to join. And
I had done a little bit of radio at KPFA in Berkeley.
Because of Bonnie's experience in some radio work in San Francisco, I felt like, sure, I can do this too. And it was an interest we had in common. It was fun to pursue that together. I did it for maybe 2 years, and Bonnie even longer.
Ruth was here. I think Belle had already left. When I think of Ruth, I see her in her, I think it was red Mustang convertible. driving around town. Oh, I can see her now, just smiling in that convertible. I always loved the show. I always admired the women doing the show, you know, coming in week after week, interviewing people. And at some time in the mid-90s, somebody left and they needed another host. I was kind of interested. So they decided they would give me a chance. And I really had a good time with it.
By the time Bonnie, Cynthia, and Geraldine came on the scene, though the show's format had changed and the volunteers had changed, a few things remained the same. Appreciation for the behind-the-scenes volunteers, the engineers and editors, the supportive collaborative process, and the focus of the show on women's concerns and accomplishments.
I never got into the technical part of it. We worshipped the technical people because without them, we were nothing.
We had a very regular engineer in Dina. Dina Botvega or Dina Cardonic. She had two last names. Dina was an excellent engineer, and she was always there for us. She was all business. I mean, we had a few laughs and stuff, but she was top-notch, really good engineer.
We worked as a collective at the time.
They were all so supportive. We had meetings every month. We'd get together and talk about ideas, discussion items, how to interview. And the women there were some of the original members of this collective. And they were so supportive and so welcoming that it made it really fun and easy.
The reason why it was meaningful to us at that time particularly was that there were so few women's voices in the media.
In the late 80s and early 90s, it was very exciting to be doing the work of getting women's voices out there and having extensive conversations and going into more depth with what women had to say and how important our view of the world was.
It's been 30 years since Ina, Ruth, and Belle started Through the Eyes of Women. That is a long time. Belle and Ruth didn't really remember their favorite interview. It seemed what they remembered most was the excitement and flavor of the show. Ina, Bonnie, Cynthia, and Geraldine, on the other hand, remember all that and their favorite interview.
I'm proudest of this. I remember when I got involved, I decided, let's have a program with women artists of Humboldt County. So we had the first interview of women artists in Humboldt County. But one of them is an activist, a community activist, and the other one was a woman who succeeded immensely doing abstract, and she has shows all over town. But that inspired that woman who's now very well known, has shows all over town, to become more active as women artists in Humboldt County.
Well, the one I remember most was with Robin Morgan, who put together an anthology called
Sisterhood is Powerful.
Sisterhood is Powerful. She was really an important person during the height of the most political part of the women's movement. I felt small in terms of my impact on the world, sort of at the time, compared to her. She was very gracious and dynamic, and she carried the interview. But it was an example of how extraordinary it is to have the opportunity and the kind of excitement about doing radio, producing, and interviewing.
I do remember one show that was my favorite that I did, and that was an interview with Judy Fiel, who was coming to this area to do some a concert. She also worked with children. She did music and just exploration programs with children who had suffered from abuse. And a good friend of mine was a social worker and would invite Judy here. Diane Green would invite Judy Fiel here to work with her children and do a concert just for them whenever Judy was in the area. It was an interview that I really enjoyed doing, and I got to listen to more deeply to Judy's music and talk with her about her music and her songs and what inspired her to write them and what inspired her to work with abused children. And so it was a very meaningful experience for me.
It's 20 years ago. Two of my favorites were from 1995, last century. I talked with Nicole Barchelon-Frank and her daughter, Shira. Shira was seventh grade then, and she's, you know, in her early 30s now. And we did a show on Hanukkah. And it was really sweet to talk to the two of them. So it was really fun to talk with Nicole and her daughter, Shira, and have them interacting back and forth. That was one of my favorites.
In the end, you know what delights me most is that everyone loved their time with Through the Eyes of Women.
It was empowering.
I still remember how exciting it was.
You know, it made me really appreciate how many awesome women we have in this community.
This has made my life much richer.
I like radio. Well, it's interesting. It's an unseen audience, but you're so aware that you are giving a message. And I've been on TV, but TV is not as much fun as the feeling, and it's a radio feeling, and other people who've been on radio say the same thing.
Sometimes I can't even imagine life after Through the Eyes of Women, but life goes on. Ina Harris stayed with the show for about a year before moving on to her own show on KHSU called Labor USA. She produced that five-minute weekly show on labor issues for 3.5 years and won 2 Honorable Mention Broadcasting Awards, of which she is very proud. Bell left the show after a couple of years and moved to Bellingham, Washington, where she became involved in organizing Bellingham's Human Rights Film Festival and continues to do volunteer work with Books to Prisoners. Though Ruth says she was with the show for only a few years, we have cassette tape archives of her shows well into the early 1990s. She is still taking photographs and writing poetry, just recently releasing her latest poetry chapbook entitled I Remind Myself. Ruth's achievements and art and activism are being recognized by the Humboldt County League of Women Voters in an award ceremony on April 17th. Find more information about that online. Bonnie and Cynthia continue to work in social services, and Geraldine works at HSU. This show has been dedicated to former Through the Eyes of Women engineer Stacy Aspie. Though I only managed to speak with 6 women who've been involved with Through the Eyes of Women over the years, there are so many more of you out there. I'd like to acknowledge the few other names I was actually able to find. Jill Payden, Marcus Arenas, formerly known as Mary Weatherly, Maria Bartlett, Kathy Sarabian, Susie Brady, Grace Carr, Susan Penn, Amy Jester, Heather Rawson, Lynette Mullen, Beth Rogers, Mary Nesset, and of course, Through the Eyes of Women's current team. Corinne Fragoni, Brenda Starr, Emma Rakan, Lynette Nutter, Lyndon Turner, Jessica Eden, and Katie Whiteside.
Thank you for listening to our rebroadcast. You can hear the show again on Through the Eyes of Women permanent blog on the World Wide Web at khsuwomen.com. Where you can post comments and listen to all archive shows. Stay tuned this month for more tributes, reflections, and poetry readings in celebrating the life of Ruth Mountain Grove. If you would like to contact us with stories of Ruth, we can be reached at tteowproducer@gmail.com. We welcome your audio and thoughtful memories. Join us again next Monday at 1:30 right here on KHSU.
Support for KHSU is provided by Finnish Country Sauna and Tubs and Cafe Mocha, featuring traditional sauna cabins, private outdoor hot tubs, a European coffee house, and a frog pond in an enchanted forest. That is Finnish Country Sauna and Tubs, 5th and J Streets in Arcata. And support for KHSU comes in part from Eureka Car Stereo, offering sales and installation of car audio systems, alarms, iPod and Bluetooth integration, and satellite radio. Eureka Car Stereo is open Monday through Saturday at 15th and Broadway in Eureka. This is KHSU. It is indeed diverse public radio from Humboldt State University. KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. It's 2 o'clock. Hope you're doing well. My name is Mike Drockers, and so begins another episode of In the Trees here on KHSU. Today, we are going to play some music that was recorded live in Arcata. We'll talk about the weather. I was very interested to see the rain totals. I don't know if you've seen the rain totals for this season yet, but we'll talk about that and also some of the great programming that's going on here on KHSU. By the way, that was a great Through the Eyes of Women. And you can read more about that at their blog, khsuwomen.wordpress.com. And we'll get some of that up to khsu.org as well. We'll try to keep it popping over there. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in. This is an old song, and it has a very interesting history behind it.